This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI communities, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards a greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. I'm a little bit less nervous than I was last week, so I'm actually smiling this time. Tonight, we're going to be talking about allies. We're going to focus on the ally part of our mission statement and what it means to be one, why we need one. And I've got a co-host and a special guest. So I'm joined by gorgeous Christian Vega, who's going to be my co-host.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Oh, he's very quiet and downbeat.
Tonight. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm shy.
Yeah. Can't you tell?
I'll be playing the role of the shy one.
I thought that was my job. So, Christian, welcome.
Thank you.
What brings you to Joy? I believe you have a program that happens
I
to
do.
Be on air.
I do have a program. It's called The Vixen Hour. It's been going since January. And The Vixen Hour is the only community radio program in the world that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers.
Wow.
And, yeah, we have a lot of fun. I have a new co-host in most weeks, and we focus on a different topic. That's on Mondays at 9 p.m. We talk about a lot of the issues that affect the lives of sex workers, we have a similar sort of mission. The reason why we're on air is to challenge a lot of the stigma and prejudice that people might have about sex work, and really making people's opinion about sex work an informed one. And in that sort of spirit, it's all about, I guess, nurturing and encouraging people to be allies.
Correct. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is allies are vital across the board. But you're going to give us, I believe, tonight, you're going to give us a little bit more of a different perspective as a gay man and as a sex worker producing and presenting a program. So it's going to be a different type of ally experience for you. Would that be right?
Yeah. And look, I guess focusing on the role of allies has been somewhat of a feature of a lot of like the work that I've done, whether it's volunteer work or it's community-based work, which I do during the day, that there is sort of an importance of, you know, there's a role that everybody has to play in the community, whether it is, you know, being part of a marginalized community, speaking up and standing up for your own rights, or whether it is as people who are sort of associated with those people and those causes, and I guess looking at the roles of how to be an ally, how to be an effective ally, how to be a good ally, as you've said, I'm part of a number of communities that are marginalised in a whole range of ways, and what that sort of position has given me is a really unique perspective on, I guess, allyhood, if you like.
Yeah, I've said this probably a few times, in fact, definitely said a few times on this show, that having a microphone in front of you and to have a program on air is the most it's very influential, number one, but it's an amazing honour. And I don't think we can downplay how important we are and how lucky we are. And do you feel the same way about having it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting having, you know, being on Stand Up Straight, being a show for allies. There's a difference between friends and allies, I feel.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's a difference?
Well, there's because you can be friends with people without necessarily being allies to their cause. So you've heard people say things like, oh, I've got gay friends, or, you know, I know a gay person. but that doesn't necessarily mean that you fully respect, you know, that community's human rights, that you'll stand up and you'll challenge sort of stigma, prejudice and discrimination against them. So in a way, you might be a friend to somebody who's part of a community, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're an ally to that community.
Do you think that they think they're an ally just by saying, I've got friends, and maybe it's a bit of tokenism, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. There's certainly it's a way of saying, oh, yeah, I know, I'm aware of those communities, but I'm not necessarily, you know, a proponent of their human rights. That's what I sort of read as the subtext of that, a statement like that.
A bit like brownie points, that it makes it appear like they're supporting or ally, but they're not really,
Whereas I think you've done some really amazing role modelling on how to be an ally. It's not just enough to know somebody who's a part of that community, whatever community it is, whether it's GLBTI or an ethnic group or sex workers. You need to not only know somebody in that community, but actually be active in doing things like standing up for their human rights.
Correct.
Which, I mean, you've done amazingly by creating this dialogue.
Get out of here.
Well, through your radio show.
And
I think it's amazing.
But it's a love fest here, isn't it? But I think I feel the same way about your show. For those of you that are unaware of Christian show, it is on it
on a Monday night at 9 p.m.
Yeah. So can you give us what's been the highlight, if there is one? Has there been something that stood out as one of the topics in your shows, or something that really was earth-shattering, or something that was that you hadn't expected, something like, or lots of, maybe there's a long list.
Sure. It's interesting focusing on allies, and I think, again, it's interesting that, you know, allies have put together a radio show, because everybody is an ally. You can't possibly be a group of every single community. And I mean, some of us are, like, you know, I'm not white, I'm a sex worker, I'm, you know, GLBTIQ. But I'm cisgendered, so I'm not transgendered. I'm not, I don't have a disability, so I'm not part of those groups. And what my show has taught me, because I have a new co-host in every week, and I sort of try to embrace the diversity of my own community by letting lots of very different people on my show, is they've taught me how to be an ally to them. So whether they are, you know, ably diverse or non-neurotypical, or...
Can you... What? I knew the terminology.
Those might be, new terms to people, but they're preferred terms by people who are living with a disability, or people who might be experiencing a mental health diagnosis. We'll say, I'm non-neurotypical is the way that somebody who was in that situation had said to me, that's how I prefer you to refer to me as. And, you know, and part of being, you know, an ally to a lot of those communities is learning those terms of engagement.
And not being, I know a lot of people don't intend to, if they're an ally, they don't intend to be offensive, but maybe indirectly we are, because we use the wrong terminology. And I think as an ally, one, it's about educating yourself and making sure, or trying to learn the right ways.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah? And, you know, because you're not part of that community, you are going to learn new things, and you can't possibly know what it's like to be in that person's shoes. So asking those questions, making those mistakes, and listening to that community when it pulls you up is a really important aspect of being an ally.
And it's brave, I think, to be able to be brave and humble enough to say, okay, gee, sorry, I said or did the wrong thing. And it's a bigger person to actually admit that and then take on that constructive criticism and that guidance, maybe, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and also I think as members of communities that are marginalised, we also have to be very, I guess, generous with how we treat people who are well-intentioned, because, you know, there's a whole big world out there, and not everybody is on our side. So, you know, we really do have to be, I guess, very accepting of people who are making that effort. Mm. And yes, they're not always going to get it right. But, you know, we have to be sort of big enough to say, look, I'm willing to have this conversation with you, put you on the right track, and let's move on from there.
I think people can often deliberately take the wrong path when they know somebody really isn't trying to be mean or rude or offensive. And I think you've got to be mindful that the people, again, you don't get that opportunity again. You might not have that person sitting in front of you again or seeing them at a party or whatever. So you're not going to get that. So you've got to really seize that moment, would you agree?
Absolutely. And look, you know, there's a lot of members of, well, the GLBTI community who find it very hard to forgive, like, you know, things that have happened to them in their past. And I think it's, you know, it's also worth acknowledging and understanding that perspective as well, you know. But I think, you know, moving on into the future, having a much more accepting community, sometimes you do have to let some of those things go.
I agree.
But I do want to, I do also want to acknowledge that, you know, for some people, that's a very big step to take.
Yeah, and we can't downplay that because I'm certainly not in their in their shoes.
Absolutely.
Christian, there was a little bit of exciting news that came your way. I'm making him blush, I know. We're going to take a break in a minute so you won't have to talk very long. So can you tell me a little bit about a nomination that you received this week, last week actually?
Yeah, so amongst the Joy family, the CBAA, which is the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, have their annual conference, and part of that conference is giving out awards, recognising sort of excellence and achievements in the...
Don't roll your
field of community radio. So Joy's received three nominations. So for Dean Beck, there's a sporting nomination for The Locker Room, and The Vixen Hour has been nominated for Best New Show,
which just happens to be your show. I know you're uncomfortable. I don't care. I'm going to make you squirm. That's something that you should be incredibly proud of. Again, it's as you said, the only show presented and produced by sex workers, and that's groundbreaking, and you should be very, very, very proud of yourself. I'm going to go to a break now on Joy 94.9 and get Christian off the hook. You're on Joy.
Did you beep that out, the word sex? I hope so.
Parents in the room.
I wanted to shock my mother.
Oh, he's getting all hot and flustered. I hope Grandma's not listening.
Oh, Grandma.
Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, everyone. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. I am joined by Christian.
Hi.
Talk more next time.
Oh, no, okay. All right. Did I say I was going to be the shy one?
Yeah. It's a competition to see who can talk more, I think, between you and I. So what we decided to do is grab another guest. His name is Stephen. He is the father of a gay son. And he's going to be having a chat to us about what it means for him to be an ally. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Thank you for coming in. Can you tell us, how would you define being an ally?
Sure. For me, it's quite simple. It's actually being prepared to stand up and speak out about wrongs, but being able to embrace culture, being open to ideas and suggestions, because again, I come from the middle class, white, heterosexual male environment. I have a very open view to a lot of things, but I certainly don't know a lot of things.
I was going to ask, you know, coming from that background, not everybody who comes up from that background chooses to be an ally. So what do you think in your history sort of made you sort of lean towards wanting to be an ally more than perhaps other people?
Yeah, I've never been able to put my finger on that. I come from, I guess, a working class point of view in my upbringing. I've always, I've had very close friends that have been gay and I've always been a friend and an ally, but I guess having a gay son has amplified that for me. Mm-hmm. Getting involved in projects that break down barriers and stigma, and pretty much it's given me my calling. Mm-hmm.
Do you think if you didn't have a gay son, you'd still be as active or passionate maybe?
It's a hard one. I actually shared a house in my younger days with a gay man, and... I guess I didn't have a lot of those phobias. I had some very good friends, and certainly would never hear bad things said about them. Maybe it was ignorance, but I certainly didn't see a lot of stigma. I knew about things like gay bashing and things like that. Mm. And certainly if ever that came to be the case where I was confronted with that, then I would challenge that behaviour.
Did that fire you up? Do you remember being really angry at that?
Absolutely, yeah. I think a lot of people who know me know that I don't suffer fools, and I certainly don't tolerate bullies.
Mm.
It's interesting, Christian. I'm wondering, what is it that makes somebody so passionately an ally and others that are, it's not on their radar? Mm-hmm. But it's a rhetorical question. I don't even know if we have an answer. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, is it because it is personal? You know, like either being close to a friend and witnessing, I guess, the discrimination or whatever that they've experienced, or, you know, being the father of a gay son and seeing the things that they've gone through. Is that what sort of spurs you on?
I spent time in the Navy as a young man. Mm-hmm. So you learn to get along with people. Otherwise, you're going to have conflict. Mm-hmm. Having a gay son was certainly a catalyst for my active involvement now, but it's no longer the cause. I've always been a fighter for the underdog in all aspects, and I guess a lot of that comes from the working class values, and I think that is one of the underpins of a working class society, the underdog, the downtrodden are the people you actually support.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's you know, correct me if I'm reading this wrong, but maybe it's an empathy coming from a working class background. Mm. And you said, you know, growing up as, you know, being part of the downtrodden, so being able to experience things like discrimination or being looked down upon, and perhaps empathising with that, with people who are experiencing that today?
Yeah, I think so. I've always had an empathetic nature. If you knew anything about my background and my upbringing, you would go, like, I'm just so far removed from the rest of my family, to the point that whilst I love them, they are my brothers and sisters, I don't necessarily have a great deal to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an environmental thing for you then?
No.
So it's not, you didn't kind of learn these habits or see examples in front of you growing up. So is it that maybe it's people you worked with, people you partied with or socialised with or whatever, I don't know.
Maybe an overbearing, overprotective mother, who knows. But, I certainly, one of the things that, again, without going into my backstory too much, I've done a lot of work on me. Mm-hmm. Because I am very much aware of who I am, where I actually fit into the world and the scheme of things. My whole thing has always been about improving my life and therefore allowing that to actually impact on other people.
Do you think, and using the name of this radio station, but does it give you joy being an ally, do you think?
It gives me a sense of purpose. Mm. And again, whilst I'm associated with the GLBTIQ community, it's also, I also work in community housing and social welfare. So I encounter on a daily basis a lot of people who go through varying hardships. We talk about homelessness. We talk about, as you say, mental health issues. And I'm very much aware of these. I have been for a number of years, having worked with alcohol and drug rehabilitation. Mm. So, yeah, I guess... this is just a place for me to belong.
Hmm.
That's an interesting turn of phrase, place for you to belong. Do you? I know for me, one of the traits that I think in an ally is no judgment and being open-minded. Would you agree?
Being open-minded, absolutely. I've actually had friends where they wouldn't necessarily say they were discriminating, but they have objections. I had a close friend of mine bring up a subject of transgender people recently, and he really struggled with being able to relate. Mm-hmm. After giving him some information and some facts and identifying some of the struggles that go on in the transgender community with stigma, with discrimination and so forth, I was able to actually bring this guy's thinking. He's not going to be totally accepting, but he says, now I have a different point of view and something to think about.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm wondering if you, like, if you could give any advice to other parents who, you know, of gay kids, what would you say to them from your perspective?
Just love them.
Mm-hmm. Is it that simple, you reckon?
Yeah, it is. Your kids are your kids. You make them. Mm. You know, their sexuality has nothing to do or identify them as a person. My son is an incredible human being. I tell him all the time. So,
you're emotional. Why does that sort of thing touch a nerve, do you think?
Because...
It's okay. You're in a safe space.
That's okay. I see so many people who do reject their kids.
Mm.
And I cannot comprehend that.
Mm. No, it is. It is. It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Look, being a part, I guess, of the GLBTI community, well, embracing the GLBTI community, not necessarily being a part of the GLBTI community or being an ally to that community, what's one of the greatest things you've learned?
Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is acceptance of myself, myself of others.
Mm-hmm.
I learn all the time. Mm-hmm. I listen to some amazing shows, The Vixen Hour. I have some amazing friends like Christian who, again, whilst I would never say that I would discriminate against people in the sex industry,
mm-hmm.
I don't know everything there is to know about.
No, that's right.
So for me, it's an education. My curious nature, I've actually listened to Dean Beck Hide and Seek and openly talked and discussed about gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's a put a quietness into the room. So these are cliche questions, I know, but so as an ally, is there one piece of advice, as Christian said, is there a piece of advice that you walked out the door now and you heard somebody giving a gay person a hard time on the street or something, would you go up to them? Would you challenge them? Would you? Well, yeah, you would?
I haven't actually been in the situation where there's been a gay person involved, but I've actually had kids on a train where they've been belittling somebody using the derogatory term of, oh, that's so gay, or he's so gay, he's behaving so gay, and actually challenge them.
Mm. And did they respond? Did they listen?
Well, when you turn around and say to somebody, if I said you're so Indian,
yeah,
is that discriminatory to you? And obviously it is. So therefore he has to then take it on board because it's actually personalised it for him.
Yeah. Mm. And did they respect what you were saying? Did you actually have a conversation with them at all with that?
It was sort of a quiet response.
Yeah.
I think it sunk in and I think that it, you know, whether they take it on board, but it's me being able to say, well, I stood up and I hopefully changed somebody.
That's the word, stood up. Why don't people stand up? I wonder. Again, maybe rhetorical question. Why is it that people are either too scared? What is it?
I think they're afraid of what people will think of them. If I stand up for somebody who is gay or associated with somebody who is gay or lesbian or transgender, what does that reflect about me?
Mm.
And we know a lot of issues are born out of a lack of self-respect, a lack of self-understanding.
Mm.
Mm. I think we're also, it's quite confronting to, you know, because when you do sort of challenge, I guess, that level of prejudice, particularly in a public space, what you're really doing is you're standing up to someone and saying you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it's part of it's part of Australian culture that we don't do that to people's faces. It can be quite a very confronting thing to do.
Mm. And maybe it's a combination of, do I really want to get involved? Mm. Can I be bothered? You know, that I think that's part of it.
One of the things that I think, and you asked about a piece of advice, don't tell people they're wrong because they're not wrong. It's their point of view.
Mm.
It's actually quite often in a message, it's not what you say, but how you say it.
Of course.
So if you were to say to them, to give them something else to think about, to actually have a different point of view, you might actually get them thinking about what they say how they react.
If you're yelling at them or they've shut down straight away, haven't they? You've got to find your little in, I suppose.
Yeah. Absolutely. Look, a way that I've done it, and you sort of reflected it in that little story that you you shared, is like imagine what it's like to be on the other side, you know, and being, you know, a subject of that, you know, that prejudice or that stigma. Quite often that's what we do through our radio show, is like, you know, when something, you know, homophobic happens, we often, you know, remind our allies, well, imagine this happened and you were in our position, how would you feel? And that's a really effective way of building empathy.
Yeah, and really powerful, very, very powerful.
Well, one of the things with knowing Christian, I actually had occasion two Friday nights ago where some friends of mine actually had a whorephobic reaction. You know, they all come from one class, et cetera. And just through things I've actually learned from you, I was actually able to give these people a different point of view and perhaps make them think differently.
Little light bulb moments, would you say?
Absolutely.
Stephen? Yeah. Yep. We would like to thank you, Stephen, for joining us, and apologise for making you get a bit emotional.
That's all right.
So we are talking about allies. I want to thank Stephen for joining us, and we will be back after this break. You're on Joy 94.9.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy
94.9. Did you do that deliberately, Mr. Button Turner over there? You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy, and we're talking allies. We have Christian that's decided to hang around a little bit longer. Thank you very much.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you also to Stephen that was just in beforehand. I think I made him cry. Bad person.
Oh, that's okay. I think it's a human nature thing.
And I think it perhaps what it does is indicate what a passionate person he is, and allies are passionate if they you know, they support the community.
Absolutely.
It makes us passionate.
And I mean, these are very personal issues for a lot of people, so
yeah, they are. Now, this might seem like a really odd thing to throw at you, but I heard this stat now, this really, really disturbs me, so I'm going to read it out. It says in the US, sex workers are seven more times likely to be victims of homicide than taxi drivers.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah, no.
You
would
have.
Heard that.
I know.
Yeah.
That is an insane. That disturbed me.
It's quite scary, isn't it? And I think that's why it's sort of... I talk about that. I've spoken about that stat, and I've spoken about it in a way of describing what the effect of stigma is, and why it's important to be that. Why allies are so very important is because, you know, in very simple terms, stigma does kill, and that statistic does represent how the effect of stigma in the lives of sex workers, and in the US, sex workers are very criminalized. They have no sort of protection, like anti-discrimination protection.
Nothing.
And even though significantly, this is another interesting stat to go with that, American sex worker, the vast majority of American sex workers that I've met pay tax. And it's interesting that they pay money to a government, but that government offers them no protection at all.
Am I weird in saying that's sick? That's
It's quite a bizarre situation, yeah.
So the correlation between that statistic and stigma.
Yep. I think certainly the GLBTI community has a very acute awareness of this. And it's in examples of it have been around things like in times gone past, gay bashing, when that was quite a common thing. That is, I guess, turning that stigma, that prejudice into violence. But then stigma can also affect people in very different ways. So the more common thing now for us when we talk about stigma being fatal is things like, the overrepresentation of GLBTI young people in suicide stats, for example.
So if, I don't know if this is a tenuous link, but so if we are not allies and we don't support, and whether it's someone in the GLBTI community or it's a sex worker, so if we don't support them, nurture them, be friends with them and all of that. So does that mean that they remove themselves more and more within society? They're alone. They're not embraced.
They're certainly more vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you know, there's mountains of evidence around the effect of stigma in terms of things like an individual's health or good public health outcomes, particularly mental health. Mm. You know, things like depression and anxiety certainly play out in populations for who experience a higher rate of stigma. So GLBTI people, trans people in particular, sex workers, drug users, people who are generally not accepted by the general community experience, you know, things like poorer health outcomes, poorer mental health, other issues like that.
So a lot of them, I would think, would be quite alone or on their own, living on their own or not having a large support network or group of friends, perhaps. Would that be right?
Certainly an outcome of stigma. And look, this isn't news to people. You know, people who grew up as GLBTI, the vast majority of people who grew up as GLBTI.
But Christian, people listening to us, that's new. Sorry to interrupt, but it is new to them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But people who grow up different to a lot of other people or who do experience that sense of isolation, well, can experience that sense of isolation and certainly feeling a lot more vulnerable, feeling not accepted and, you know, they're not good things.
No, they're not. So then, cliche as it sounds, but this is why allies are so important and even more so. So how do we reach out to... Most of us perhaps know a gay and a lesbian person, either at work or friend, family, whatever. But so how do we reach out to these other marginalised groups?
Well, it's interesting. Amongst the sex worker community, there's this widespread belief that the majority of people know a sex worker. Or
really?
Someone who has done sex work
really?
At some point in their life. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And it's just that the level of stigma that we experience is so high that we're not able to tell you about it. So guaranteed.
Why? Why can't you tell us about it?
Because, people feel ashamed. People think that there will be negative outcomes that will happen as a result of coming out. All of those things. Again, GLBTI community experienced exactly these same issues 10, 20 years ago. Yep. Where, you know, the level of discrimination that happened from, you know, the prejudice that people believed, you know, gay people were pedophiles, all of those old, really, you know, negative stereotypes, they kept people in the closet.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10...
So you're in your own kind of closet. The sex workers are in a different closet.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's funny how the experiences of sex workers quite often reflect sort of the experiences of the GLBTI community. So things like coming out as sort of things that, you know, experiences that are common to both communities. It's just that sex workers aren't in a position, you know, I believe one of the sort of key ingredients to being able to come out is a safe environment.
Soft and place to fall.
Absolutely. And, you know, in our world today, it's illegal to discriminate against GLBTI people. And it's, you know, it's not acceptable, socially acceptable to be homophobic. Yet sex workers haven't quite got there yet. You know, we're not protected by anti-discrimination legislation, for example. So it does lead people to sort of remain in the closet longer.
A longer path or a harder path or journey, hate that word, but I use it. Mm-hmm. Do you think, is it going to be a harder path to go down to get that acceptance?
Certainly it's a hard road, but, you know, other people have been on that hard road before, whether it's, you know, coming from a particular ethnic group or, you know, having disabilities or being GLBTI, you know, there have been people who've gone down that road before. Sex workers experience a higher level of stigma. So, you know, we're still on that road.
Yeah.
And certainly there's been individuals in my community who've sort of embraced the opportunity to be able to go down that road. So putting things together like a radio show, engaging in broader dialogue, organising our little collectives that sort of advocate for our human rights, all of those kind of things. That's the work that we do.
There's you've put together a, we call it a flyer, information sheet.
Yeah, so yes, around how to be an ally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to come back and have a chat about that in a minute. Christian, you're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
She's my mum.
Yes, she is. Thanks, guys. We're talking about allies. We have Christian with me in the studio.
Hi.
We were just about to have a chat about a flyer, brochure, information sheet that Christian has put together, which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's how to be an ally to sex workers. Now, if you take the word sex workers out, most of it is generic, be an ally to anybody, really,
isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why did you put that together?
Well, funnily enough, it came together because there was a group of sex workers. Actually, there wasn't a group of sex workers. There was a university conference happening of students, and they wanted information on, well, how can we engage with the sex worker community, learn about their issues, be in a dialogue with them, but do it in a respectful way that supports their human rights.
Right.
So that was amazing.
Yeah. Were you flattered by that? Was that quite an emotional thing?
It certainly made us very conscious. When I say us, I mean people in the sex worker rights movement, very conscious of the effect that we were having, the change that we were creating through things like social media, engagement, holding public events, and a lot of the messages that we had put out there were starting to come back to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's demonstrating how effective those messages were when somebody asks you to do something like
your
this.
Your face is lit up and you're smiling as you're talking about that. So again, radio, you can't see it out there, but that's true. So obviously it meant a lot to you. You were seeing that tide of change.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you're part of a community that is so discriminated against, seeing that change is really rewarding. So we wanted to put together a workshop that not only discussed, you know, tips on how to be an ally, but also give people something to take away with them. And that's why we put together a bit of a flyer that sort of summarized in like 10 really easy practical points.
That's what we need, I think. So you can, it's something people can remember.
Yeah.
Easy to call on if they, you know, when they need. Yeah. Yeah.
And exactly what you said. A lot of this is just being generally respectful to a lot of to any community, to any individual. There are some sort of sex worker specific ones that we put in there, but on the whole, a lot of this is just very, you know, Ally 101 that can be applied to a lot of other communities.
Yeah, it's true. Some of the things that I've actually just jotted down, and I think Stephen touched on it before as well, about no judgment, being open-minded, push, and this is one I like myself, is to push your boundaries and to maybe challenge some of your beliefs. And I think, beliefs I should say, I don't think people don't realise that by challenging your belief is not compromising what you think or feel. It's actually, it's educating yourself. It's broadening your mind. And how can that be a negative thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One of the things that we often ask our allies to do is to examine their own prejudice.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we wouldn't need allies if the world wasn't so against us.
We'd never know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's a lot of communities feel that way. But, you know, part of that, I guess, a common word that's used is oppression, is the socialized messages that people grow up with. So thinking things like, you know, and 30 years ago that was, you know, all gay men were pedophiles. That was, you know, that was a socialized message. Now we have things like, you know, all sex workers, you know, are vectors of disease. That's another socialized message. Or that they're somehow worthless or we're criminals or whatever.
Or they've come from a certain background or whatever, which couldn't be further from the truth, I know.
Yeah, so a lot of being an ally is really examining those, I guess, socialized prejudices and learning that they're not always true.
Yeah.
And the way that you do that is actually by listening to the people who have the lived experience of being part of that community group.
Correct. So it's close the mouth, open the ears, really, isn't it? And embrace what you're hearing, embrace what you're learning. And there's especially at Joy, but even in the big wide world out there, there's people from so many different backgrounds and nationalities and religions and all of that kind of stuff. So if you embrace it and learn from it, you've got more friends, it broadens your whole everything about your life can change.
Yeah.
You know, I know that seems like a bit of a grandiose kind of statement, but I think it does.
I think it certainly says something about the type of community that you want to grow up, that you want to be a part of. If you want to be a part of a very close-minded, very small, very, you know, not very worldly community, if you, you want to live in the dark ages, that's fine. You can do that. But if you want to be part of something that's, you know, that embraces all people, that believes in equality, that believes in human rights for everybody, then being an ally, being, you know, conscious of these issues is an important part of that. And, you know, it's not just saying, oh, yeah, I believe in equality and human rights and that's enough. No.
But that's rhetoric. That's talk, isn't
it? Absolutely. It actually takes quite a bit of work, quite a bit of standing up, if you like.
Correct.
To actually do that.
And it's, I think, setting an example. I think that's something that we, that's pretty key as well. So people might not even realise that you're an ally or aligned to any particular community or anything, but if they see and hear your actions, hear your words, then all of a sudden it might make them think about what they're thinking or saying, and you don't even have to have a discussion with people if you're just leading by example. I know this is all sounding very new agey, I know, but we have to keep it simple.
Absolutely.
You know, if we lead, what's your favourite? You got a favourite tip in here in the flyer?
Oh, there are so many. Well, there's not so many. There's 10. but just be on our team. You know, and it's being conscious that, you know, the world is not a big, wide, you know, peace, love and mung beans place for everybody. That, you know, we do. There are people who don't understand us. And, you know, we do our best to try to build that understanding as communities. But certainly allies play a really, really important role in trying to, you know, to further our work and make it worthwhile.
And would that be your biggest hint? And would that be what you would suggest people do?
I think that's a nice one.
Yeah.
But certainly I think listen is the biggest one, I think, you know. And like you said, bigger ears and smaller voices.
Yeah.
And being open to being challenged, because I think part of being an ally is acknowledging, as you did before, that you can't possibly know everything, and you can't possibly, you know, there is no insurance policy against, you know, offending anyone.
Yeah.
So being, you know, being conscious that you can do that, but at the same time being open enough to, you know, accept when you are wrong and then moving forward.
Yeah. One of the things, somebody asked me recently what it felt like for me to be an ally, and for me it felt like just something in my gut. It just felt like it was the way I am made, and I don't know if other people feel the same way, but it feels wrong not to be an ally. It just feels wrong not to. It's so interesting to meet interesting people, you know, from everywhere. And I just, I think it just enriches your life. And as I say, it's just something that's very, very natural for me. And I think that, and this is what I'm hoping, that this particular program tonight is, if I could get any message across to people, is that don't be scared, just ask. I don't think people are going to be afraid of questions. You're not afraid of the questions that are asked of you. You'd rather someone ask the question than not, yeah?
Yeah.
And I would be the same.
Yeah, and certainly we've created the opportunity for people to ask those questions.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I agree. Look, I've had a fantastic, fantastic chat with
you,
Christian. I'm so glad. And we will come back and have a – we'll talk about it some more.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the year, perhaps. So I was joined tonight by Stephen and Christian. Thank you very much. Wanted to thank my front desk, Rob, and for supporting the program tonight. I've gone blank then, sorry. And Matt, creating my sound. I would like to leave you this week with your weekly challenge. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change and encourage involvement? You've been listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle Barber on Joy 94.9.
Night.
Take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand up straight on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.